In our journey through the Gospel of Mark on Sunday mornings, we've come to Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. And so I invite you to take your Bible and find Mark chapter 10, 46 through 52. And let me say a word to all the boys and girls, grades 1 through 6. You should have received in Sunday school the previous hour your Al's Pals Worship booklet. And so I'm going to be depending on my Al's Pals to listen well to the sermon today and take good notes and perhaps draw me a picture of the sermon. And I'll be up in the Al's Pals room this afternoon at 5 o'clock and over the next four Sundays. Our big Al's Pals swim party is the last Monday in August. And when I was a young pastor of this church with Al's Pals, they couldn't dunk me. And then I became old and I fought them and they succeeded in taking me under. And I just want to announce today, I'm going under in the first minute. No resistance. Being a Baptist preacher, I ought to be used to being dunked. And so we're still going to have a good time at the swim party. Have lots of good stuff to eat. And you boys and girls are going to learn some wonderful things through Al's Pals about how deep is the love and grace and mercy of the Lord Jesus. As a young lady, Marilyn Ford began to lose her eyesight. It got progressively worse. The doctor told her that she had an irreversible problem, which was called macular deterioration. He predicted that it would progress until she would become legally blind, and just as he predicted, she became blind. Therefore, she had to go to a school for the blind where she learned to navigate with the aid of a cane and to read Braille. The story does not end there. She went away to a Bible college to study. Her professors allowed her to take classes, to tape their lectures, and to listen to the lectures. And there, as a sightless young girl, she met a young ministerial student named A.C. Ford. They fell in love, and this young preacher proposed to her and married her, though she could not see her husband. God gave them a little baby. She could not see the face of her infant child. God gave them a church, and though she knew the church members by their voice, she had never seen their faces. Marilyn prayed many times that she might be healed either by miracle or by medicine, but nothing seemed to help. One evening after a time of ministry, she and her husband were driving home late at night. They discussed Marilyn's blindness. A.C. talked to her about the impediment it was to his ministry and how wonderful it would be if God would restore her sight. She wrote a book entitled, These Blind Eyes Now See. Let me read you an excerpt from it. Marilyn wrote, That evening both of us were exhausted. A.C. picked up a religious periodical, climbed into bed. After reading a minute, he put the magazine down, he got down on his knees, and began praying. We both began to cry as he prayed with great feeling and boldness. Oh God, you can restore Marilyn's eyesight tonight, Lord. I know you can do it. And God, if it be your will, I pray that you will do it tonight. Perhaps neither of us was quite prepared for what happened. After 12 blurred and dark years, there was sharpness and light. A.C., I can see, I exclaimed. You're kidding, he answered. I repeated, I can see the pupils in your eyes. A.C. thought that perhaps just a little vision had come back. I said, A.C., it's 12:30 at night. You need a shave, I can see that. A.C. still couldn't believe the miracle had really occurred. He grabbed a newspaper, pointed to the large print at the top of the page and asked, can you see this? I can do better than that, I exclaimed. I can read the smaller print. A.C. got excited. Marilyn, can you see the dresser? Can you see the bed? We shouted and praised the Lord for what he had done. Such a miracle was overwhelming. Things had been rough for A.C. lately as he tried to keep both his church work and his sales job. He had nearly reached the limit that evening when the miracle happened. We knew that God was able, but we couldn't comprehend that something so wonderful and miraculous had happened to us. Jumping off the bed, A.C. asked the question again. Marilyn, can you see? Yes. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Glory, glory, glory to God. It can't be, A.C. exclaimed. She writes, "We were beside ourselves with happiness. This is heaven," A.C. shouted. "It has to be. Oh God, why did I doubt you?" Then he turned to me. "Why did I doubt God? I didn't believe he could do something like this, but he did." Psalm 116:12 says, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits to me?" came to AC's mind. We were jumping up and down and crying at the same time. I was getting my first look at my husband. For the first time, I could see his face, his eyes, his nose, his mouth. I could see. I ran to the mirror. I could barely believe how my facial features had changed. We reached for a phone to call our parents. When the phone rang at my parents' home in Michigan, Mother was awake. She had not been able to sleep that night. For years, she had been burdened with the thought of my blindness and her own helplessness of not being able to do anything about it. How happy our news made her. She rejoiced with us over the telephone lines. I asked her to share the news with others in my family who lived in Holland, Michigan, and with my twin sister in New York. AC dialed his parents, and his mother sleepily answered. AC shouted, "Mother, Marilyn can see." Mom Ford had been awakened in the middle of the night by a son too excited to speak calmly. She asked, "Is everything all right?" But AC could only repeat over and over, "Marilyn can see, Marilyn can see, she can see." We tried to explain to Mom and Dad Ford, but had so little time. There were other phone calls to make. We wanted to run down the street at 1 a.m. and shout that I was blind, but now I see. Well, she was later examined by a physician. And when he checked out her eyes, he determined that there was no physical or physiological change in her eye that she should have been unable to see, but she could see. And it's been many years now since God restored her eyesight. She's traveled the length and breadth of our land, telling the story and giving glory to God. And the text for our consideration this morning is the account of another miracle of sight being restored from the Lord Jesus, and the life of a man by the name of Bartimaeus. Now, I want to say at the outset of this message that God does not always choose to heal in this life. And there are some who love Jesus supremely and wholeheartedly who are blind. I think of Fanny Crosby, who was stricken with blindness as just a young preschool-age girl and who lived her life in total blindness but gave us some of the greatest hymns of the faith. But God does have the power to heal supernaturally. And just as the Lord God healed Marilyn Ford, the Lord Jesus healed Bartimaeus. The account is found in Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. And I invite you to follow along as I begin reading with verse 46. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet, and he came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. This wonderful healing narrative in the life of blind Bartimaeus is a vivid picture to us of salvation. Just as blind Bartimaeus had no physical sight, the human race, apart from a relationship with Jesus Christ, has no spiritual sight. Those who do not know Christ are spiritually blind. Bartimaeus encountered Jesus this day as Jesus was making his way through Jericho. And Bartimaeus received physical healing. But he also received spiritual healing, for he had faith in Jesus. And in verse 52, we're told that he began to follow Jesus along the road. Now, the focus of this particular portion of Mark's gospel is about Bartimaeus. but it's really about Jesus. As we've made our way through Mark's gospel over the last year and a half, we've seen Jesus with many encounters, and now we see him encountering Bartimaeus. But it's always about Jesus. Jesus is the real hero in this story. Now, the fact of the matter is that Jesus is just a matter of a few days away from the cross in Jerusalem. The end of his 3-year public ministry was about to come to a close. He had set his face to go to Jerusalem. In fact, if you look back in chapter 10, verse 32, you read that Mark writes, they were on their way up to Jerusalem. This was Jesus' last trip to Jerusalem. The cross was just over a week away. And Jesus had set his face like a flint to go to the cross. For you see, the primary reason for which Jesus came into this world was not to perform miracles of healing. He didn't come primarily to give great teachings, though he's the greatest teacher who ever lived. Jesus came to die on a cross. He was the Lamb of God who was slain from the very foundation of the world for our sins. And so the focus of the Lord Jesus Christ was to go to Jerusalem that he might give his life there on a cross outside the city gates. Now we come back to chapter 10, verse 46, and Mark tells us that they, that's the 12, and the company of people that were tagging along with Jesus and the 12 disciples, they came to Jericho. Jericho was 18 miles from Jerusalem. Jesus was getting close to his destination. Now, Mark does not tell us this, but in Luke's gospel we learn that Jesus had an encounter in Jericho with a tax collector named Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus' life was radically changed. Now Jesus is leaving Jericho, and as he does so, he has this encounter with this man named Bartimaeus. There are three facets in this encounter that I want you to consider with me this morning. First of all, I want you to think about this. Bartimaeus desired to encounter Jesus. There was in the heart of Bartimaeus a desire, a deep-seated desire to encounter the Lord Jesus Christ. Look again in verse 46. Mark tells us that there was a man there, a blind man. Bartimaeus wanted to encounter Jesus because he was blind and he believed that Jesus could restore his sight. Jesus had been ministering publicly now for about 3 years. He had performed many mighty miracles. The lame had walked, the blind could see, the deaf could hear, a few dead people had been raised to life. And perhaps the message had been noised abroad across the land and had come to Jericho that this Jesus had the authority and the power to cause the blind to see. And Bartimaeus had the desire in his heart to have his sight restored. The thought must have gone through his mind, if I can just get into the presence of Jesus, if I can encounter Jesus, I'll be able to see again. He can restore my sight. Can you imagine what it'd be like not to be able to see? Bartimaeus had not seen a rose in bloom. Bartimaeus did not have the privilege to see the smile on the face of a young child. Bartimaeus could not see a beautiful sunset. Late yesterday afternoon into the evening, my wife Kim and I were making our way from South Alabama back to Auburn, and we were coming as the sun was setting. And Kim remarked, look to the left, and there was a sunset there in the west. And as we drove, the sunset got more and more expansive and more colorful and more brilliant. And then she was driving, and I was in the passenger seat working on my sermon. And I looked to the left, and I don't know how it happens, but there was clouds, big clouds to the east that had color in them, brilliant red color. And then I looked ahead, and there were clouds to the north of us that had brilliant red color. And then I looked behind us, and we had 360-degree sunset. I don't know how to explain that, but I know what my eyes saw. It's a beautiful sight. It was an indication of the handiwork of our great creative God. Well, poor Bartimaeus, he never saw a sunset of any kind. He was a blind man. But he had a faith that if he could encounter Jesus, Jesus could take care of his blindness. But not only was he blind, but he was poor. In fact, if you look in verse 46, Mark tells us that he was sitting by the roadside begging. He wasn't just a poor man. He wasn't a man making minimum wage. He was the poorest of the poor. He didn't have a wage. Any income that came his way was simply alms that he begged day by day as he sat by the roadside. Now, if there ever was a person that had a reason or justification to feel sorry for himself or to have a pity party, it was this man, Bartimaeus. The thought went through his mind, I'm sure. If I could just somehow encounter Jesus, he'll take care of my blindness and help me. Well, he did not have that opportunity, obviously. But an opportunity was about to come his way. Opportunity was about to knock on his door, for the Scripture tells us that Jesus came to Jericho. And when Jesus was in Jericho, I'm sure there was a great commotion in the crowds. We're talking about this prophet, this teacher, this miracle worker. And the noise was spread abroad across the city. And obviously, somebody told Bartimaeus. His opportunity came. And he went to Jesus. He made it his business to try to attract the attention of Jesus. Notice how he did it, verse 47. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Bartimaeus wanted to encounter Jesus. He wanted to have a meeting with Jesus. He wanted to get next to Jesus. He shouted out, Jesus, have mercy on me. Do you desire to have an encounter with Jesus? Do you? Do you really? I want to tell you something. If you really desire to encounter Jesus, you can encounter Him today. You can encounter Him in this hour, in this room. You can meet Jesus today if you really want to meet Jesus. But before you can really meet Jesus, before you can encounter Jesus, you've got to be like Bartimaeus. You've got to realize your own helplessness and your desperate need to know the Son of God. You see, Bartimaeus here in his blindness is a symbol of humanity. In our lostness, in our alienation from God, in our separation from God. The Bible tells us, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, that the God of this age, that is Satan, has blinded the minds of unbelievers. We're told in Ephesians chapter 4 that they are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God. You see, a man or woman without Christ is spiritually blind. And he needs to have spiritual sight restored to him. And only Jesus can do that. And it comes, first of all, with a desire, a recognition that in and of ourselves we are helpless to fix ourselves. We need a Savior. We need someone beyond ourselves who can redeem us and save us and forgive us and make us right with God. The first step in encountering Jesus is to recognize your need, your sinfulness, your guilt, and to ask God for mercy. Paul put it this way to Titus in Titus 3:5. He saved us not according to works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy. And we are made alive in Christ Jesus by His mercy. Bartimaeus had a desire to encounter Jesus. There's a second facet in this encounter I want you to see with me. Not only did Bartimaeus have a desire to encounter Jesus, but secondly, Bartimaeus was desperate to encounter Jesus. It wasn't just a meager desire. He was desperate to have an encounter with the Son of God. Look again in verse 47. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout. He didn't whisper. He didn't talk in a normal tone of conversation. When he heard that Jesus was nearby, he began to shout, Jesus, Son of David! Have mercy on me. We're talking about a desperate man. His only hope to have his sight restored was for Jesus to restore it. Can you imagine what it had been like that day in that scene to have Bartimaeus shouting like that? I mean, it offended the sensibilities of the decent religious people of that city. They were embarrassed. They were a little put out about it. He was creating such a commotion and such a scene. But as far as Bartimaeus was concerned, this was his first and, as far as he knew, his last opportunity. As it turned out, it was his last opportunity, for Jesus would never pass through Jericho again. You've heard the saying, he who hesitates is lost. Well, here it is right here. But praise God, Bartimaeus didn't hesitate. He began to cry out, Jesus, have mercy on me. He was desperate to have an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. My, I want to tell you, friends, when you and I are desperate to know Jesus and to walk with Jesus and to fellowship with Jesus and to experience Jesus and to encounter Jesus, we're going to have what we want. I can tell you how much you and I have of God in our lives, as much as we want. The reason we have as little of God in our lives is because we're content to live at such a low, mediocre level. Bartimaeus was desperate to encounter Jesus. But not only did he desire to encounter Jesus, and not only was he desperate to encounter Jesus, but third and finally, he was determined to encounter Jesus. I mean, he was going to tunnel through the opposition. He was tenacious. Notice his determination. Look in verse 48. Many rebuked him. They told him, be quiet. I mean, here is fellow citizens in Jericho, and they're saying, Bartimaeus, hush, shh, settle down. You're embarrassing us. Can you just tone it down a little bit? Now, you know, when somebody gets serious about God and gets serious about walking with God, there are always people the devil puts in your path. And you know what those people do? They're there to discourage you, to dishearten you, to tell you, if you don't settle down, you're going to be a Bible thumper. You're going to be a religious fanatic. They're going to call you names because you're zealous for the Lord Jesus. And here these people are. They're saying, just hush. Be quiet. Look again in verse 48. Mark tells us when they told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more. And what did he shout? David, son of mercy, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. I mean, he wasn't going to be denied. He was determined to encounter Jesus. When I was a student at Southwestern Seminary in Fort Worth, Texas, my mother and father came to spend a few days with us. Kim and I took them over to Dallas. We did a little sightseeing in Dallas one afternoon, and we were walking through the lobby of the Fairmont Hotel where Kim and I had spent the anniversary of our first anniversary of being husband and wife, and we were just standing there in the lobby, the four of us. All of a sudden, my mother took off running. I mean, she was running across the lobby, and she was shouting, Bob Hope! Bob Hope! Bob Hope! Bob Hope! She had spotted Bob Hope in the lobby. She ran him down. She caught him. She held him up, and she waved us over, introduced us to him as if she had been his friend her whole life. Nice honor to meet Mr. Hope. Well, my mother said, Bob Hope, I've been watching you on television all my life. I'm on television and movies all my life. And there he was, big as life. And it's quite a scene in this pretty fancy hotel lobby. But she caught him. Bartimaeus created a scene. His friends rebuked him. His friends said, be quiet. But the scripture says that he kept calling out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And you know what? Jesus heard. This is good. Don't miss this. Look in verse 49. Jesus stopped. The Son of God stopped. When somebody calls out to the Lord Jesus Christ for mercy, you can be absolutely certain that the Lord Jesus Christ will stop and give you His undivided attention. Jesus stopped and He said, call him. And so they called the blind man. Notice how the crowd changes here. Cheer up. On your feet. He's calling you. And throwing his cloak aside, which is probably the only thing that he owned, that which shielded him from the elements at night and kept him warm, throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and he came to Jesus. And what do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. And the blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Rabbi, I want to see. Well, that shouldn't surprise us. If you were blind and you had an encounter with Jesus, what would you say to him? the same thing Bartimaeus said. Verse 52, "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." And immediately he received his sight and he followed Jesus along the road. When Jesus performed miracles, he used diverse ways to perform miracles. In fact, there are at least three different ways that Jesus caused the blind to see. We don't know what Jesus did here other than the fact that he spoke and said, "Your faith has healed you." Perhaps that's all that took place. Perhaps he didn't even touch him. According to the text, we have no record that he touched him on this occasion. But his desire was granted. He was determined to encounter Jesus. And in his desperation, in his desire, he pressed on until he encountered Jesus. And Mark tells us that he began to follow Jesus along the road. And I want to tell you this. Jesus was passing through Jericho that day. He was on his way to Jerusalem. It was the one and only opportunity that Bartimaeus had to encounter Jesus. And just as the Lord Jesus passed through Jericho that day, Jesus is passing through this room today. The Son of God, in the person of His Spirit, is walking up and down these aisles. And He's tapping some of you on the shoulder. And this is your opportunity to encounter Jesus. Now, you may never have this opportunity again. I don't know. It may be that in the province of God, you'll have 1,000 more opportunities to respond to the love of God in Christ, to encounter the Lord Jesus, to receive from His hands the forgiveness of your sins, and to receive the gift of God, which is eternal life through faith in Him. It may be that you have 1,000 more opportunities to encounter Jesus. But you and I don't know that. It may be that before the sun sets today that somebody in this room slips into eternity. God forbid, but it could happen. It may be before the sun rises tomorrow that the trumpet of God shall sound and Jesus shall appear and the age shall be over. We don't know that. But we do know this. We know that we have this moment. And we know that Jesus, who is passing through Jericho, is passing through this room today. God brought you here in His great, great love for you, His great mercy for you, and He desires to bestow upon you His grace. In a moment, we're going to share a prayer together, and then we're going to stand and sing what we call our song of decision and commitment. And if you know yourself to need an encounter with Jesus, this is your opportunity to trust Him today. You say, "Well, Brother Al, what do I need to know to encounter Jesus? I mean, how can I really know Him in a personal way?" Well, it's pretty simple. This is what we teach the boys and girls in Bible school. It's as simple as ABC. A, I must admit that I'm a sinner and that I cannot save myself. B, I must believe that Jesus is the Son of God and the only Savior from sin. And C, I must confess my faith in Him. You see, it's so simple, sometimes we stumble at it and miss it. And Jesus said we must become like a little child if we're going to be in the kingdom. It's not our good works that earn us favor with God. It is mercy, 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 mercy. And Bartimaeus knew that, and he cried out, the same kind of cry that every sinner has to cry out, "Jesus, have mercy on me." And you can experience that mercy today if you'll humble yourself before Him. I'm going to ask that we bow our heads now and pray together. God, our Father, we pray.